The economic sanctions between Russia and the U.S. is a reminder of the spy versus spy days of the Cold War. Back in the 1980s, Soviet and American intelligence agents were engaged in a different kind of competition. Who had the better lasers? Not laser weapons, but laser listening devices that allowed agents to eavesdrop by picking up vibrations from the windows of government buildings where there were conversations going on behind those windows. The Americans installed tiny speakers in their windows to mask their conversations with music. My next guest has taken that spy technology one step further, making it possible to eavesdrop on those vibrations with just a bag of potato chips or a houseplant. No laser required. Abe Davis is a PhD student in electrical engineering and computer science at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Welcome to Science Friday, Abe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us what you did. How did you take the laser out of the equation?
Well, so it turns out that, you know, when sound hits an object, it causes the object to move, and that motion does create a visible signal. In the sense that when anything moves, if you look closely enough, you should be able to see it. But, the motion is just really subtle in this case, so we didn't really expect that you would be able to recover it from video, or at least nobody expected that 10 years ago.
So you take movies of something vibrating, and then you can tell what's going on, what the sound is making?
Yeah, I mean, in some situations, I would say. I mean, this is not going to work in just with any arbitrary video necessarily. Mm-hmm. But what's really surprising is that oftentimes this information, this signal, is there, even though you can't really see it with the naked eye, even though it's really, 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 really subtle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's give our listeners some idea of what you're talking about. I have a few sample clips here. First, a sample of a person speaking. Let's hear that clip.
Don't ask me to carry an oily rag like that.
All right. We won't. Now we have another clip of that sentence reconstructed using just the vibrations on a bag of chips.
Don't ask me to carry an oily rag like that.
There's nothing wrong with your radio. That's not quite as good fidelity as the original, is it, Abe?
No, not quite, but considering the source, we were pretty happy with it.
All right, let's go to the challenge to our listeners. See if you can recognize. This time we're going to play the reconstructed version, the vibrations of the bag of chips, and see if you can tell what's going on in this clip. I think that was pretty easy to guess. And in case you didn't guess it, let's play the original sound of that clip. Abe, can you capture audio from just about anything?
Well, I wouldn't say anything. In fact, a lot of the work that we actually did in this research was sort of figuring out what are the situations where this can actually be done. Mm-hmm. And, what are the factors that contribute to whether or not it can be done and how well it should work. Mm-hmm. When you try it.
You know, a lot of people have flowers in the room, right? There are roses or houseplants. Can you get audio off the leaves or the petals?
In some situations, yeah. We've done this with potted plants. We've done this with, bags of various sorts, a glass of water. A lot of times the things that are going to work the best are going to be sort of very light, sort of shell-like objects, like a bag or a piece of foil. But you can get some signal from a lot of different things.
Should we be concerned that there is surveillance like this going on?
No. I wouldn't be. I mean, it's a lot of people, it's easy to hear about this kind of technology and think that it's just going to sort of work in arbitrary situations. But if you think of photography, if you point your camera at something and you take a picture, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to see that object clearly when you develop that picture. And in a similar way, The sound that you recover from something is going to depend a lot on, you know, the equipment that you use to record the video, how far away the object is, your lighting, your resolution. There are all these factors. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that this signal is there and that this can actually work. But, you know, there are limitations and a lot of what we're looking at now is sort of characterizing those limitations and figuring out, you know, when it will work.
Well, of course, for our listeners, and I know there are a few of them out there who want to try this at home. Is it possible to do your own experimentation with this?
So it should be, in the sense that we are hoping to release some of the code. But, you know, that being said, we've got sort of two versions of the technique right now. And the main version that recovers the best audio works on very high-speed footage. So for that, you would need a pretty high-speed camera. And we're talking about thousands of frames per second. But we do show, and this is really surprising, we do show that it turns out there's this sort of flaw in the way that a lot of regular consumer cameras are designed. And it creates these image artifacts, which people usually refer to as a rolling shutter. And it turns out that surprisingly, in some situations, sound information can actually be encoded into these image artifacts. And so in some cases, we can actually recover sounds from even regular consumer cameras.
Wow.
But again, you know, there are limitations. This is not going to work in just any arbitrary situation. So you don't have to worry about the government suddenly using this on everyone.
How did you discover it? What was the impetus for trying this out?
Well, so for a while now, some of the labs here at MIT have been looking at amplifying and visualizing small motions in video. And in some of the previous work by my co-authors, we started to see that in some cases, the motions that were being amplified were caused by sound. Mm. And so then in this work, we started to ask the question, you know, how much information can we actually extract from these motions? And is it enough to actually recover the sound that's causing them?
Mm-hmm. And so then there's the genesis. Quite interesting. We'll wait to see. Maybe there'll be a public version of your algorithm coming out. We can all give it a shot. Thanks a lot, Abe, for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you.
Abe Davis is a PhD student in electrical engineering and computer science at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts.